Praise the Lord. Well, how about we open the Word and have a great story from the Bible? This week is Thanksgiving, so it seemed appropriate, even though I didn't finish the message last week. There was a second half, and there was more to say about Jacob. This being Thanksgiving week, I felt led of the Lord to talk about one who gave thanks. A story from the Bible. Go to Luke chapter 17 and verse 11. Luke 17, 11. Just in my own reading through the scriptures, I just see all these things. Oh, I got to talk about that story. Oh, so y'all need to come to my house every day so I can teach you the story or two or three. This morning, there were several. I thought, that's three or four stories right there. I don't know how we're going to do them all like that, you know. And some of them were just parables, four or five verses or something like that. And man, there's a whole bunch there. But so we're at Luke 17, verse 11. Let's read our story. Now, it happened as he went to Jerusalem that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. Then as he entered a certain village, there met him 10 men who were lepers. Not leopards, lepers. The pastor I worked for when I got out of Bible school, good man, but he had certain words that were difficult for him. And for some reason or another, when he would read lepers, it would come out leopards sometimes. Just, you know, he's moving fast and just, he would say leopards. So, you remember that, Sandy? Yeah. And everybody snicker a little bit and then he'd go, what did I say? Yeah. But 10 men who were lepers, in case you don't know, that means they have a disease called leprosy. And I suppose I'll explain it here a little bit. Leprosy, as I understand it, is a disease that affects the nerves of the body, nerve endings in particular. And as the nerves degenerate, there's loss of feeling, and it kind of starts at the extremities and works towards the core. Maybe it's somewhat similar to diabetes. If you know somebody that's gone through years of diabetes, there was a man that attended our church years ago, and eventually, but he had diabetes and always was bandages on his feet and couldn't keep the sores on his feet healed. You know, it was part of it was that he didn't have the feeling there, so he'd wound and damage his feet, and they just wouldn't heal right and so on. And then went through, amputate a few toes, and then part of his foot, then his leg, you know, and this back and forth with both legs. And eventually, by the time he passed and succumbed to the disease, I think both legs were taken above the knee, you know, piece at a time. He was a bit of a jokester. He was a fun guy to be around because he said, they asked him, do you want us to give to you your leg? And so he said, what am I going to do, have a funeral for my leg or something? You know, but anyway, I think it's leprosy is kind of similar to that, where there's no feeling in the extremities. The tissue degenerates, gets injured, doesn't heal, and so on. So folks who had leprosy had these sores on their bodies and so on. Leprosy was very contagious. So to be a leper was a life-changing diagnosis. There were leper colonies, and in some countries to this day, it's like that as well. Someone gets leprosy, sorry, you have to leave. You were separated from your family. You couldn't work your job. All you could do is go somewhere and be quarantined away from everybody, right? I believe part of the ministry of Mother Teresa, who's famous for ministering, basically comforting people who were dying, she would minister to those with leprosy. And most people wouldn't go anywhere near someone with leprosy for fear of catching that disease. So folks with leprosy would end up disfigured, you know, just nasty looking. Open sores would have festering wounds and so on, you know, just, it's about as repulsive as you can think, right? Whatever picture you got in your mind, you probably have to multiply it a bit, because that's leprosy. So it's a real big deal. So that's what these men had. They had leprosy. They're out separate from the rest of society, left families, couldn't support themselves except for people going to a point, leaving food and provisions, and they'd come and get them, that kind of thing, right? So there were 10 lepers who stood afar off. Now you know why they stood afar off. Actually, it wasn't even legal for someone with leprosy to come in contact with a person who didn't. You couldn't sneak home just to say hi to the family. It was illegal. It's a real big deal. So they stood afar off. And as I understand as well, if you had leprosy and someone's coming down the same road while they were far enough away, you're supposed to start yelling to them, "I'm a leper, I'm a leper, I'm a leper," and yield and make go around and make sure that nobody came close to you. So it's a pretty big deal, right? Verse 13, it says, "And they lifted up their voices and said, 'Jesus, Master, have mercy on us.'" Don't know how they knew it was Jesus, but Jesus is coming in their direction. And they call to him, and they call for mercy. Verse 14, "So when he saw them, he said to them, 'Go show yourselves to the priests.'" Now, why would he tell them something like that? I'll explain a little bit so you understand as we go forward. In those days, when one had leprosy, it was not a doctor, but a priest who would look at the first wound or the first sore or something like that, diagnose the disease, and then you had basically a diagnosis or a sentence over you or a declaration. You were declared leprous. And with that declaration, you had to separate from everybody. And through the Old Testament, there's teachings about how to handle all of that. And then there is also a procedure for showing yourself to the priest when you were healed or cured of leprosy, and the priest would make a thorough examination of you and declare you clean of leprosy again. Only thing was, it never happened. It was never done because leprosy was incurable. No one ever showed up at the priest. There's no record in the scriptures, and I don't know of in old days, old times, any historical record of anyone ever escaping leprosy and being declared clean. But to me, it's an awesome thing. It's just a side note here, but why would God put in the scriptures a procedure for being healed and declared clean, restored to everything, if it wasn't possible? With God, all things are possible. Amen. So, Jesus gives them the instruction that they knew from the scriptures, go show yourself to the priest. Well, why would you do that when you're a leper? There's only one reason. You would no longer be leprous when you presented yourself to the priest, and he would declare you clean of the disease, and you would be restored to all your family and everything. That's what it means. That's the only reason to go. So Jesus says to them, "Go, show yourselves to the priests." And so it was that as they went, they were cleansed. Now, I'll explain some. Why would you show yourself to the priest if you had leprosy? And if we were listening to the character I always think of is from Winnie the Pooh, Eeyore, where he's so negative on everything. You know, and then in the cartoon Gulliver or something like that, there was a guy that was always so negative, you know, "We'll never make it," kind of a person. Well, in 10 people, there's got to be one that tends towards this, right? You would think. Why should we show ourselves to the priest? I mean, look at us. Why are you guys going? Have you looked at yourself? Right? So a lot of people would never take a step toward the priest. Because, let's be real. I mean, look at us. And we're going to go to the priest? That would be a typical human response to an instruction that could only be valuable if you were healed and or cleansed. Reading on, verse 15. "And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, returned and with a loud voice glorified God, and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks." And he was a Samaritan. Samaritan meaning he's from the region of Samaria, but even more than that, Samaritans back in their history were Jewish folks who intermarried and mixed with the local tribes of people. They were what some people would call half-breeds. They were interracial, so to speak. These were people that were half Jewish, half people from the rest of the world, where God had given them instructions, stay with Jewish folks. There's reasons for that I won't go into now. But Samaritans were basically hated by Jews because they went interracial. And Samaritans hated the Jews back because, you go hate me, I hate you too. So there's always trouble with Samaritans. Used to be years ago, now you can't, you got to be careful of everything you say, but used to be years ago, you want to tell a joke, you know, you would say something like, well, two Polacks went into a school. And you tell Polack jokes, right? But you don't do that sort of thing now. All kinds of jokes. A Jew, a Polack, and an Italian went, you know, whatever. And so those stereotypes would say certain things. And the Polacks were always considered the inferior, the not so. How many Polacks does it take to change a light bulb? And there's probably 6-7 different versions of that joke, right? And that's so politically incorrect and maybe unkind now. But my wife is Polish, and she'll tell you Polack jokes. Yeah. She don't care if I do it either, but yeah, anything for a laugh is good with her. But anyway, so the Samaritans were the butt of all the Jewish jokes. And their favorite group to insult. We're not supposed to be doing that kind of thing, right? Anyway, so that's why the scripture points out, and this guy was a Samaritan. In other words, a low-down, dirty dog Samaritan is the one who returns to Jesus to give thanks. Remember when Jesus told the parable of a certain man fell among thieves and robbers and was robbed from and beaten and nearly dead, and a priest walks by, doesn't tend to him, goes around him. A Levite walks by, goes around him, doesn't do anything. And then comes along a Samaritan. This is what, to this day, we use the term Good Samaritan. There are laws called Good Samaritan laws. It's all because Jesus told this story. So when Jesus wanted to talk about you judge the heart, not the race and the outside of the person, Jesus intentionally used a low-down, dirty dog Samaritan for the hero of his parable. Right. On purpose, Jesus did that. So here again, the scriptures are pointing out that a low-down, dirty dog Samaritan was the one who returned to give thanks. In other words, regardless of race, lineage, his descendancy, his blood, this man had a right heart. God doesn't look on the outside, he judges the heart. Amen. So we'll just add this while we're here. I don't care what race you are, male or female, and there's all kinds of nasty stuff going on in our country in both those realms. Men and women relating to one another, boy, there's crazy stuff. Race, and by the way, a lot of this is being stirred up by demonic spirits and people filled with hate.
That's right.
It's being stirred up. And it reaches into churches. And we need to set up boundaries and borders, and we will not have any of that in here.
Amen.
Amen. God made us beautiful as we are. Young and old, black, white, brown, yellow, purple, green. Well, people dye themselves now. Tattoos, whatever. It's the heart. It's the heart. And so here it's pointed out he's a Samaritan, but he's obviously demonstrating a heart different than the others. 17, verse 17. So Jesus answered and said, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Where's the other guys? Were there not any found who returned to give glory to God except this foreigner? Now, Jesus calls him a foreigner. That's just a fact. That's not an insult. You would think the Jewish people, covenant with God, who, you know, supposedly they're the ones, right? You would think they would glorify God, give thanks to Jesus, all that kind of thing. And he's pointing out, no, they didn't. But this guy, this Samaritan in front of him did. Verse 19, and he said to him, arise, go your way. Your faith has made you well. So, I've got a few principles I'm going to pull from the story here that we can apply today. What should I take away from this story? Number one, since they were lepers, they were without hope and cut off from everyone. This was a for life thing. They're without hope of any remedy or any change, cut off from everyone, every supply, isolated, except having one another. They were isolated. They were without hope. And there are times where we can feel isolated and without hope, right? There are people that perhaps today are isolated and without hope. So this was their starting point. So to any measure that you or I might feel that way, or in reality somebody actually is isolated without hope, there's an answer for it. Amen. Principle number two, they recognize Jesus is that answer. Yeah. What do you do when you're without hope and cut off? Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. That's what they did. They called on Jesus. So in any measure today, if you feel cut off, you feel without hope, you feel in isolation, your answer today is Jesus. Your answer is not necessarily family, although Jesus can use family to help. Your answer is not job. Your answer is not money as a thing isolated by itself. I just need more money. No, you just need Jesus. And he'll work these things out, and money is part of that. Amen. When you're cut off and alone, Jesus is your answer. Number three, and oh, this is so important. Jesus gave them an instruction that required faith to obey. And you'll find Jesus did this again and again and again. I was just reading in the Gospel of John this morning, and Jesus walks up to the pool of Bethesda. And that's the one where an angel would come down, visit, stir the waters, and the first one in the waters would be healed. And Jesus walks up to a guy that's sick. Jesus perceives he's been there a long time. And Jesus asks him a question, do you want to be made well? What a stupid question. Do you believe Jesus would ask a stupid question? No. If Jesus asks that question, it's pertinent, it's significant, and it's paving the path for the solution for this man. Do you recall what he answers? He says, well, Lord, when the waters are stirred, I'm paraphrasing, someone always gets there before me. I have no man to put me down in the waters. So he's kind of saying, I'm hopeless. I'm cut off. I can't get in the water first, so I can't be healed. That's how he answers Jesus. You know, when Jesus says, do you want to be well? Do you want to be healed? Anybody here recall what does Jesus say to that man next? He said to him, rise, take up your bed, and walk. Okay, this man is at a point. He's got to make a decision. How can I rise, take up my bed, and walk? I'm laying here sick. Who is this guy that comes in here insulting me, not recognizing that I'm sick? He's got no mercy. He's mean and he's nasty, telling me to do something I can't do. Remember, the man said, I have no one to put me in the water. He needed somebody to put him in the water. So apparently this man can't just rise and take up his bed. Jesus told him to do something he couldn't do. Hello, did you hear me?
Yes.
I wish Jesus would be reasonable. I mean, if he'd ask me for this or for this, I could do that, you know, and I could go along with it. But he asked me to do something I can't do. This is ridiculous. Would Jesus ask somebody to do something they cannot do? Yes. So here, back to our 10 lepers, he gives them an instruction. that requires faith to obey. Go show yourselves to the priest. If they didn't believe there was good cause and reason and that they would be cleansed, healed, by the time they got to the priests, there's no point in going. So they had to believe him to take off in that direction. When you have a need, when we have a need, when we call Jesus, have mercy on us, help. We got a situation here. We need help. You are likely to receive an instruction from Jesus. He probably will not say, "Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't know about that. Let me just fix it here." That's not likely to happen. That's what we want. Jesus, a little help over here. "Oh, I'm sorry, I wasn't paying attention. Let me fix that." He's not like that. And you go through the scriptures, the New Testament there, the Gospels, and you'll see that Jesus almost always confronted people. He didn't comply, he confronted. Now, why would he do that? Because there was something that caused the trouble in the first place. And that something has to be remedied for the individual to get past it. So Jesus just patting them on the back, "Oh, you poor thing. I can't believe you're going through this. You don't deserve this." I don't recall Jesus ever saying anything close to that. I can't believe how cold and calloused Jesus is. He confronted people, told them to go do something. But you know, when he would give an instruction requiring faith to obey and follow, they would do that thing and they would get their answer. Amen. This happened again and again and again in the ministry of Jesus. Here's an example of it, and I told you about the man at the Pool of Bethesda. There's two. There's more in the scriptures. So, if you have an impossible situation that you're crying out to God, mercy for that situation, we need some help over here. I'm desperate and cut off. Jesus is going to give you an instruction to do something. And it's not going to be easy. It's going to require faith to follow it. How are we going to pay for that, huh? Just tell me. You know, like build out a building with no money. How are we going to do that? Build, and the money will come. One place, I don't remember if it's Psalms or Isaiah, but it says it this way: "Open your mouth and I will fill it." It's taking the step before you have the exact understanding. Well, how's this going to work? Don't need to know. Why don't you need to know? Because it's a step of faith. It's believing the word. It's believing the instruction. If Jesus tells me do this, I'm going to do that. Well, what's going to happen then? It'll all work out. All things are possible to him who figures it out. Is that right? All things are possible to him who what? Believes. If we got to figure it out first, how this is going to work, it doesn't require faith to do it. And if Jesus asks you to do something, it's going to require faith. Hebrews, without faith, it is impossible to please him. Amen. And maybe this is one of the bigger parts of this story to learn today, is you have a need, you go to Jesus, he's going to tell you to do something that requires faith to do it, to obey it. Amen. Now notice here, he gave them an instruction to do, not just believe. Do you believe if I asked you to go show yourself to the priest, you'd be healed when you're there? Yeah, I believe that. He didn't ask them to believe. He asked them to do. Well, I believe. Okay, fine. We'll know if you believe if you do. Well, I believe. Believing shows up in doing. This is what James talked about. Show me your works, your faith without works. Faith without works is dead. I'll show you my faith by my works. Didn't James say that? Yes. Believing shows up in acting. It shows up in doing. Well, If Jesus said, go show myself to the priest, there's no reason to do that except that I'm healed. So Jesus is telling me, if I follow this instruction, I'll be healed. I'm gone. Here we go. How's that going to work? I don't care. I don't know. I'm just going to do what he says. This is even Naaman, the general from Syria, when he went to the prophet to be healed of leprosy. And the prophet didn't even come out and talk to him, but sent his helper, and his helper told him, go dip yourself in the Jordan River 7 times. And what did Naaman do? He got mad. I thought he'd come out and wave his hand over me or something. And I got cleaner rivers at home that I could dip myself in. So I don't think I'm going to do it. Dirty old nasty Jordan River. Even the prophet gave him an instruction that required faith to do it. Right? I guess that's another great story from the Bible we need to tell. So the servant of the general from Syria says to him, my master, if he would have asked you something really difficult to do, you'd have done it. But what he's asked you is pretty easy, isn't it? What have you got to lose? And the general says, yeah, you're right. I should do what he said. And that man dunked 7 times in the River Jordan and came up, scripture says, completely cleansed, completely healed. You are more likely than not, maybe I should say certain, to receive an instruction from the Lord to do something about your problem. Lord, I wish you'd do something about this. No, you do something. Now, you may have to hear his voice. What does he say? Lord, what do I need to do about this? And he can show you. Then do it. Well, how's that going to work? I don't see the correlation here. Don't need to see the correlation. You just need to follow the instruction. Amen. So Jesus gave an instruction that required faith to obey. Number 4, when they did what Jesus said, they were cleansed. Scripture uses the 2 words talking about these guys. One is cleansed and the other is healed. And I looked them up and looked at the definitions. And basically, I'll tell you in my understanding what the definition, what's going on here. The disease was cured and stopped. They didn't have it anymore. They were healed. As they went, it was in the process of obeying that the healing came. Amen. So they had to decide, take off in the direction of the priest, I'll be fine. As they were obeying, it didn't happen before obeying. You know, well, I'll go show myself to the priest. If I was cured, I'd go show myself to the priest. Won't happen that way. You go, and as you go, as you go, as you go, the answer comes. Number 5, only one returns to give appropriate thanks and praise to God. Only one. 10%, 1 out of 10. How significant is thanksgiving? How significant is praising God? How much effort should be expended in, wait a minute, I'm so blessed, let me get back to Jesus. Thank him, and thank him, and thank him. We ought to be profuse in praise, in thanksgiving, and I guess there's no way to say it, but just say it. You know, even our giving and our offerings is a result of thanksgiving. We call today's offering Thanksgiving. It's not just a national holiday and part of the history of this country, which has been rewritten and kind of messed up, but there was a group of people giving thanks to God. It was the whole genesis of this for all the blessings that God had brought them. Yes. Amen. How significant and important is Thanksgiving? Well, I think I can tell you. And that would be our 6th and last pull from the story here. The one who gave thanks was made whole. So 3 words are used to describe the lepers. First was cleansed. This had to do with the declaration of the priest. It was a status, clean, unclean. Like today, you know, if someone were to commit a felony, be sentenced, maybe do jail time, for the rest of their life, they're called a felon, right? It's a status over them. To be unclean, a leper, is a status over them. Then next it says that they were healed. And that's not the word you might think it is, and I don't remember which word it was, but it had to do with the disease was gone, taken away. The disease is no longer there. They're cured of leprosy, all right? But the Samaritan, the one out of 10, comes back and gives thanks, and it's declared over him, that was verse 19, says, your faith has made you well. Is there anybody in here who has King James Bible? What does it say there? Your faith has made you whole. W-H-O-L-E. Whole, complete. Let me fill in the blanks here for you. What does this mean? Remember, leprosy would likely result in the loss of fingers, a nose would come off, ears would fall off, all these kinds of horrific things. Well, their status of unclean was dealt with. Their disease was dealt with. But if they were missing parts, that was not dealt with. Except for the one who came back. And that word there, where we see well or whole, is the word sozo in Greek. And many of you are familiar with that word. To be saved is the word sozo. And the word is encompassing lots of ground. It's to be well provided for. It's to be cured and healed. To be made complete. And it's to be made prosperous. It's used for the understanding of being prosperous as well. It's restored in every way and coming out on top. So this is a leper. How would that apply? This one who returned to give thanks was restored back everything he had before. If he was missing fingers, fingers were grown back. If he was missing his ears came back. It's the restoration of everything. Now, if you have leprosy or cancer or something, or diabetes, you lose a foot or something like that, to have that stopped and no longer in your body, that's a great thing. But let's say it's diabetes and somebody had a foot amputated. Or a bad heart. You get a new heart. Diabetes, a foot grows back on. That's what happened to the one who gave thanks. All was restored. Everything was put back in better shape than it was before. Now it's great that they were healed. It's great that they were cleansed. But it's the one who gave thanks that was restored in every area. I don't know about you, but I don't only want some things dealt with and taken care of and my status changed, but I want the restoration of everything. Time has gone by and maybe the enemy has stolen all various kinds of things from me. He's stolen from you. And I want to be the one who gives thanks where it's declared over me, sozo, sozo, complete, healed, prospered. Everything I lost comes back and then some. All the time I lost comes back and then some. Where it took a long time to get to this point, all of a sudden it accelerates. And blessing, 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 blessing. Total and complete well-being and restoration. Hallelujah. Some of us are in the second half of life, right? He redeems the time. You're never too old for the blessing of God and the restoration of God. All these years, this has been missed. It comes back. It comes back. How quick? It can come back like that. Praise God. Hallelujah. How significant is it to appropriately thank God and to give praise? To credit Him who is the source of these things. Yeah, He'll stop your problem. He'll declare a new status. But more than that, you can be restored in every way. And we should be believing for and seeking not just the stop. Say you're in debt. A lot of folks, when I hear them talk, it's like, if I could just get back to being out of debt. Well, why is that the target? Why not out of debt and abundantly blessed so I can help others. Some want relief of their situation so bad they can't see past relief. How about getting way past relief and being a blessing and letting God be God who restores all and brings abundance, and we can be a blessing to others? I want to go out just being fat cat generous. I don't know exactly what that means, but, you know, people talk about, oh, he's a fat cat. Well, I want to be fat cat generous. I don't even like cats, but I want to be generous. Big dog, how's that? Well, I'm not even a fan of dogs. But I want to be loaded and generous and abundant, able to give. Just hear of a thing and take care of it. I want to take care of people. I want to meet their needs spiritually, emotionally, and financially. I want full restoration in my life. So somebody can look at Pastor Dan and say, oh, that brother, he's sozo, man. He's sozo. Woo! S-O-Z-O is how you spell it. But in Greek, the Z is pronounced like it's a D, D-Z. Sozo. Amen. Hallelujah. I want you to be able to look at me and see God moving and doing things. Now, people get mad at your blessing. Can't help that. I guess let them get mad. Sorry about their problem, but get mad if you want to. I'm going to keep my eyes on Jesus, and we're going forward. And more blessing, and more blessing, and more help. Amen. Full restoration. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Full restoration. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Anybody with me? Yeah. So we have a Samaritan to thank that he returned and gave praise and thanks to God. And he paved and showed the way. That's the one who receives full restoration. So not just this week, but every week, be one who praises God and expresses thanksgiving. And not just an expression in the mouth, but there's, you know, what you value, you put your money behind. Yeah, so even that's part of that, so praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Father, we just bless you and thank you. You've met this need. There'll be more coming, but we thank you that day by day you meet our needs. We rejoice over that. And we're reminded from the 10 lepers that one returned to give thanks, and that was the one made whole. So such are we as well. We return to give thanks and glorify God. And we're looking always to be whole, completely restored. We thank you for this today in Jesus' name. Amen.